You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson ASC on Twitter, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it every single Monday through Friday. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com. Welcome, as always, to all of our first-time listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been supporting me from the jump. Houdat family, and welcome into Tuesday's episode of Locked On Saints. And today, as promised, I went through the All-22 to look at the Saints' run defense and figure out what went wrong there on Sunday against the Falcons, and what I learned should put Saints fans at ease. We'll open up the show with that, and then we'll dive into our pro football focus grades and analysis like we do every Tuesday here on the show. And you know how we do. Top five, bottom three on offense and defense with a quick look at special teams. And I've got something fun for you today with the absolute worst pro football focus grade I've ever seen. We've got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The Saints struggled in a lot of different areas when it came to Sunday's game against the division rival Atlanta Falcons that eventually led to their 26-9 demise in front of the home crowd. But one of the things that we've talked about so far this week and that I've seen thrown around Twitter and that a lot of evaluators are talking about when evaluating this game is simply that the Saints struggled in run defense. And there's some truth to that, but I wanted to take a look at it, dig a little bit deeper, watch the film, and figure out why. So I went through, I watched every one of the run plays throughout, the good ones, the bad ones for the Falcons. I watched everything. And I took a look at what worked and what didn't work. And let's start off with sort of the general perception. The general perception of this game is that the Saints did not fare well in run defense. And there's a couple of factors that factor into that, why people feel that way. First of all, when you look at the box score, you see that the Saints allowed 143 rushing yards to a team that was barely getting anywhere near 80 yards per game when it came to the run game, and against a team with the Saints that was barely allowing just over 80 yards per game. So they've fallen off a little bit in the league rankings because of this performance. And when you look at the numbers and you look at the box score, the Saints did give up a ton of yards on the ground. Again, 143 in this game after never really allowing much more than 100 in most of their games so far this season. So that's one of the reasons, though, that here on the podcast, we don't just box score watch, we don't just box score scout, we go back and we look at the tape. The other thing that makes you believe that the Saints did give up a ton when it came to the run and that the run defense did struggle, which it did early, but one of the things that made you feel like that was a sustained thing throughout the game is also when you look at the time of possession. The Falcons won time of possession by just about 7 minutes, and then they also sustained long drives, 17 plays, 12 plays, things like that. And usually when you see those types of plays, when you see those types of drives where you've got 17 plays, 15 plays, 12 plays, you assume that that has everything to do with the fact that the offense that's putting together those drives is running the ball effectively. For example, think back to the 20-play drive that the Saints used to open up the game against the Baltimore Ravens last year. Of those 20 plays, 12 of them were run plays. So when you look at the sustained drives, you look at the time of possession, and then of course you look at the box score number, the total number of rushing yards that they had, the Atlanta Falcons, you imagine that the Saints fared poorly against the run. And that's true for the first drive of the game. So we know that Atlanta compiled 143 rushing yards, but the fact of the matter is that 57 came off of the first drive of the game. On the opening drive, they averaged 8.19 yards per carry, the Falcons did, on 57 yards on 7 carries. That included two trick-ish plays, two misdirection plays, where you had the end around to Calvin Ridley that went for 19 yards, which is one of the longest plays of the game for the Falcons. And then they also had the direct snap to Kenyon Barner for 12 yards. So when you look at that, as well as the misdirection and the pre-snap motion that they used early in the game, that's what shook up the Saints in the beginning. But outside of that, this Saints defense actually played very well against the run. After that, the next 27 runs of the game, remember the Falcons ran 34 times past 35. So of the remaining 27 runs in this game, the Falcons only picked up 86 yards on the ground. That's 3.19 yards per carry. Brian Hill, the third string running back that a lot of Saints fans were concerned that the Saints were making look like a Pro Bowler. Yes, he finished his day respectively with 71 total yards and a touchdown, but on the ground, 20 carries for 61 yards, is what he put together on the day. 4 carries for 11 yards in the first half, 16 carries for 50 yards in the second half, 3.12 yards. So the main thing here is that the Falcons were okay with picking up 2, 3, 4 yards here and there. They didn't get a bunch of big chunk plays. When you look at the longest plays of the day for each running back, Brian Hill, 15 yards was his longest. After that, 10 and 7. That was his three longest runs. He had 4 runs for no gain. Devontae Freeman had a long of 12. Calvin Ridley had that long of 19. Like I mentioned, that was one of the longest plays that the Falcons would put together all day, and it came on the first play of the game. This is not an example of a game to where the Saints' run defense were just bullied and pushed around. The pass rush had a lot of trouble. The pass rush was absolutely bullied in this game. They still put together 21 total pressures. But when you look at what this Saints run defense did throughout the game and the way that they played just beyond that first drive, which, by the way, the 57 yards they gave up on the first drive yielded 3 points. This was not a situation in which this defense lost control of the game. When you look at all of those extended drives, a lot of those extended drives happened because of penalties. That's where the defense really shot themselves in the foot. They did a great job limiting this run defense for both of these running backs who ran for under 4 yards per carry. Brian Hill at 3.1, Devontae Freeman for 3.8. And then the team itself, despite the big run by Calvin Ridley and Kenyon Barner, they ended up putting together and holding this team to only 4.2 yards per carry as a whole. So the Saints run defense isn't a big concern based on this game. The big thing here was discipline, penalties. Those were the big issues for the Saints defense. Again, multiple times where the Saints gave up a first down with a third down penalty. That was the big issue. No reason, again, to hit the panic button on the Saints run defense just yet. All right, family, coming up next, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into these Pro Football Focus grades and analysis. Top 5, bottom 3 for offense and defense. We'll also take a quick look at special teams. And again, coming up in the next segment here, the worst possible Pro Football Focus grade I've ever seen awarded to a fan favorite, least favorite. So we got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, so we're going to start off with the offense here for these Pro Football Focus grades, get a little bit of analysis in here as well. So let's start off with the top 5 on the offense. Y'all, these grades are low. Low for the top 5. The number 1 graded offensive player from the Saints Falcons game on Sunday, Ryan Ramczyk. No big surprise there. He was one of the better players on the offensive line during this game. No penalties, no pressures, no sacks allowed, nothing. He was great. But a 75.6 is his highest grade. He lost a little bit because he got a 61.3 when it comes to run blocking. Not that he got a lot of opportunities. There are only 11 run blocking snaps to be had, but he still takes a little bit of a hit because of that. 82.7 pass blocking grade. Excellent. Remember that as a frame of reference for what we're about to get into. Ryan Ramczyk, 82.7 pass blocking grade, 75.6 overall. He is your top graded Saint from the Sunday matchup against the Falcons. Number 2, unsurprisingly here, Michael Thomas with a 74.5, 77 receiving grade, 80 drop grade in that he had no drops, unlike some players. But Michael Thomas, we know what he did. 13 catches on 14 targets. It's another 90 plus reception rate, 152 yards, no touchdowns, but 49 yards after the catch. He looked great. He played very well. Only a long of 18. So you saw that it wasn't just a bunch of chunk plays to where he was getting all of these yards. He also added 8 first downs all by himself. So 152 yards for the right now best wide receiver in the NFL. He became the first player in this game to go over 1,000 yards in the 2019 season. He also became the quickest to 400 catches. Bear in mind, Michael Thomas has been in the league. He's in the middle of his fourth season. Ted Ginn Jr. has 399 catches in his 18-year career. Michael Thomas has over 400 catches already in his very short career. So just a little bit of a perspective there for you on how outstanding Michael Thomas has been and how often he's leaned on. 66.9% of wide receiver targets for the Saints go Michael Thomas's direction, and he's still putting up 152 yards on 13 catches on 14 targets in a game. He's outstanding. Zach Line up next here, 73.6. He gets this grade even though he played only 8 snaps in the game. These running backs didn't get a lot of opportunity. Wide receivers outside of Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, and Ted Ginn Jr. didn't get a lot of opportunity at all. We spend a lot of time talking about guys like Austin Carr, who, you know, is he going to be able to spend some time and actually develop a little bit more with Drew Brees back? And instead, he was inactive. There's some weird personnel choices. We'll talk about that later on down the road, not later on this week before we get to the Tampa Bay game. But Zach Line is your number 3, 73.6 was his overall offensive grade. He's helped out by a 79.8 run blocking grade. Not a lot to really say about Zach Line here. He caught a couple of passes in the game. He was in for four run blocking snaps. The Saints just didn't do a lot on the ground, so it's hard to evaluate those performances. Taysom Hill up next, 72.1. He had a nice day. He only played seven snaps in this game. He did throw and complete an amazing 17-yard catch by Michael Thomas, but really that was kind of the end of Taysom Hill's day. And then Drew Brees comes in to wrap up our top five on the offense with a 68.4. Yeah, it was an okay day for Drew. It wasn't outstanding. I mean, he threw 45 passes this a week after throwing, well, I guess a bye week after throwing 43 passes. So we're just starting to see the pass heavy game really come back for the Saints and Drew Brees here. He still completed 71.1% of his completions, 287 yards, but a yards per attempt of only 6.4. That's not great. You want to push the ball downfield a little bit more than that. He accounted for 13 first downs, but he was also sacked six times and faced a good bit of pressure in this game, listed as under pressure on 17 snaps, according to Pro Football Focus, 5 of 11. That's a 45.5% completion percentage for only 18 yards. Not a great day under pressure for the future Hall of Famer. An adjusted completion percentage of 75% because he had a drop, he had a throwaway, and then he also had three times where he was hit as he was throwing. But still, you can look at adjusted completion percentage all you want. The fact of the matter is that he had a 52.5 passer rating and a 45.5% completion percentage when under pressure. That's what happened in the game. That's what you go with. He was blitzed as well 11 times, according to PFF. He did fine there, completing 80% of his passes, 8 of 10, with a 96.7 completion. I'm sorry, a 96.7 passer rating. But again, no touchdowns. He was sacked six times in this game. And in fact, he was actually sacked five times when not blitzed. So he was just under pressure a ton in this game when the offensive line really wasn't being overwhelmed. They were just being outworked. Now we'll go back to the bottom here. I'm so excited to get to this because we're about to get to the worst Pro Football Focus grade I've ever seen in my life. Krishan Hogan here is the third to last. We'll start with him. He's the best of the worst, 54.6. He only played 10 different snaps, but not targeted. I mean, we were talking about the wide receivers in this game. Outside of Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, and Ted Ginn Jr., the only other two wide receivers to play in this game were Krishan Hogan and Deonte Harris. Krishan Hogan with 10 snaps and then Deonte Harris with two snaps. And so when you look at that, you just don't really see any real involvement from outside of the top three wide receivers, and really no production outside of the top one wide receiver. And that story continues here with Ted Ginn Jr. being our second to the last here with a 47.4. He had a 49.6 pass rating and just horrible really in the passing game because he was targeted three times in this game. He's credited with no receptions and two drops. It just not a good look for him. He's really not been able to show that he can securely catch the ball at all this season. And it's been a big concern because we spent a lot of time before the trade deadline talking about how we just need to see the Saints bring in somebody that can be a good number three. Now you're starting to wonder if the Saints are in need of a better number two at this point. And maybe that's a draft thing, an offseason thing, but you kind of wonder what it is that they might want to do at this point in the season. I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that they've tried to rely on the guys that they have. I don't think they've made any mistakes here. I just simply think that at this point, maybe it's a good time to change your tactic. And now finally, Andres Pete with a 39.6 overall offensive grade, but that's not what's standing out to me. The worst, literal worst offensive grade that you can get for a pass blocker was gifted, just handed on a silver platter to Andres Pete with a wild 0.0 pass blocking grade. I've not seen this before. I'm sure that it's happened with Pro Football Focus, and I'm probably just making a big deal out of nothing, but my goodness, a 0.0 pass blocking grade on 21 snaps, 15 as a primary pass blocker with primary pass blocking responsibilities. And the thing about it is that Pro Football Focus credits him with two pressures, one hurry, and one sack, when really he was liable for two sacks because he got bowled over by Adrian Claiborne on a pair of plays that led to sacks on Drew Brees. So when you look at this game and you look at Andrew Speed, who did get hurt, I understand. I'm being harsh on a guy who got hurt, I know. But really, his performance was absolutely atrocious in this game. And to see him get a 0.0 zero pass blocking grade both makes me gag, but also makes me feel a little bit warranted in my frustration with the way that Andres Pete has played so far this season. So, all right, those are your offensive grades. Quick shout outs for the special teams players right here. JT Gray, he did have the penalty, the roughing the punter penalty that was just horrible, and then ended up giving the Falcons a first down that led to a field goal, but had two tackles in special teams. He's your second top rated special teams player with a 64.0. Taysom Hill, your number one with a 69.3. A lot of people have asked me over the last couple of weeks, should we be worried about Will Lutz? And the answer is a prevailing no. 3 of 3 in this game. Two of those came from 20 to 29 yards, but another one came from 40 to 49. So he did play just fine in this game after seeing him miss 3 field goals over the last 2 weeks before the bye week. And then Thomas Moore said 4 punts in this game, 192 total punt yards, 48 yards per punt with a long of 51 here, and 2 of them came within the 20. 2 of them were returned for only 33 yards. So Thomas Morstead continues to be an excellent special teams asset for this team. So all right, next we're going to jump to the defense, but first let me tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors, Peloton. Peloton is offering a special limited time offer. Get $100 off of accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get started. Now, while cooking on game day is very important to me, there are other times on other days throughout the week that I'm just too busy. I had a long day at work or I'm getting home late and things like that, and I just don't feel like cooking. But thankfully, we live in the best time possible and we have options like DoorDash. DoorDash, restaurant quality food with living room dress code. Have your favorite restaurants delivered directly to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and get the food delivered to you wherever it is that you are. Not only is it your favorite pizza joint that you're going to find on DoorDash, you've got over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite as well. And it's door-to-door delivery in all 50 states as well as Canada. You can order from all of your local favorite go-tos, or you could choose from some of your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, the Cheesecake Factory, so on and so forth. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. And right now, our listeners get $5 off their first order, $15 or more, when you download the DoorDash app and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from your app store and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, the promo code is LOCKEDON for $5 off of your first order from DoorDash. All right, Huda Nation, let's wrap up today's episode with a look at some good performances here for the Saints defense. Again, I think the Saints defense in this game played okay. It was just a weird game. Again, only 317 net yards allowed, just over 170 when it comes to passing, just over 143 when it came to run game. We talked about that at the beginning, that that's a swollen number because of the opening drive. But the way that they played throughout the game was actually pretty decent with the exception of the penalties. The penalties was the big thing, and that gave a lot of players some knocks here. And we'll see that once we look at the bottom of the bottom three here when it comes to this team. But for the top five, when it comes to the Saints' performance against the Atlanta Falcons, number one, Marcus Williams with a 92.1, as well as a 90.4 coverage grade. Marcus Williams is one of 3 elite graded players from this Saints defense in this game, and all 3 of them honestly deserve it. Marcus Williams, not really targeted often, but still got an interception. Really, he's not even listed with a target in this game because he wasn't in primary coverage in the interception that he got, but it was a great play and actually put the Saints in position to really maybe get back into the game. But unfortunately, that offense, as we just reviewed, could not get it going. He also added 5 tackles and 2 run stops as well, or defensive stops, excuse me, as well. Those are plays that are listed by Pro Football Focus as unsuccessful plays for the offense. So Marcus Williams is responsible for 2 of those. Demario Davis comes in here with the same grade, a 92.7 defensive grade. He also gets a 90.6 elite pass rushing grade as well. 6 total pressures in this game, 1 sack, 5 hurries. He also added 8 tackles. He was the leading tackler in this game and was credited with 7 defensive stops, allowed only 3 catches on 5 targets for 4 yards as well, and then also had a pass breakup, as did Marcus Williams. He added a pass breakup as well. And actually, what was almost an earlier interception in that game after Eli Apple, or was it PJ Williams? It's PJ Williams got beat down the sideline by Julio Jones and Matt Ryan overthrew it, but thankfully Marcus Williams was there to almost pick it off. But anyway, we're talking about Demario Davis. Demario Davis, your second of the top 5, played a total of 76, both of these guys, 76 defensive snaps. That is a ton to play on defense. Now, number three here, a name that we haven't seen this high on the list. In fact, we're used to seeing him near the bottom of the list just because his style of play, or his responsibilities when he comes in and how often he comes in, he doesn't really get the opportunity to create much for himself. But Kiko Alonso, 34 snaps in this game, gets an elite grade of 90.6, and he deserved it. He got a hit on the quarterback as well as a hurry, so that's two pressures. He added three tackles, two of which were credited as defensive stops, and he only allowed one catch on one target for 1 yard, a 79.2 NFL passer rating allowed. So Kiko Alonso comes in, gets some extra snaps. That's the second most snaps that he's played in a game so far this season at 34. He played 38 against Chicago. So great job by Kiko Alonso coming in and making those snaps count. Your third of three elite graded players on this defense and across the team. Up next, we have Malcolm Brown at number four, an 82.1 overall grade. He had one pressure credited as a hurry, as well as two tackles and two defensive stops. And that was his day, but he was very good up the middle and did help to improve that run defense throughout the game. David Onyemata is next with a 75.9. He caps off your top five. He has a 79.4 pass rushing grade, three total pressures in this game, two hurries, as well as a hit on the quarterback. Also four tackles, three of them credited as defensive stops. He was hit with one penalty, which might have hurt his grade a little bit, but altogether, David Onyemata sits as your number five player. Shy Tuttle, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Abbott, all very close there at 6, 7, and 8. Just want to mention them. But bottom three, Eli Apple starts off our list here. Despite his 74 grade in run defense, he gets a 44.3 grade when it comes to coverage. And a lot of that had to do with one big play. That was the big 54-yard catch by Julio Jones, which sent him flying down the right sideline. And thankfully, Marcus Williams was able to save that touchdown. He was also credited as allowing another touchdown. He's credited for Austin Hooper's touchdown in this game. So six catches on eight targets for 99 yards. The Julio Jones one was really, he ended up getting crossed up and running into another defender who was trying to also trail another receiver down the field. So I don't really put that all on Eli Apple. I think that was just good game plan and good route concept by the Falcons. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson near the bottom of the list here with a 46.8 total grade, 38 in the run game because he missed a tackle, and then 23.1 in the tackle grade because, again, he missed a tackle. But in terms of what he did in coverage, targeted three times, allowed only two catches for 11 yards. Not really a big deal at all when it comes to him. He did a great job. He had a great game. He played well, but unfortunately, because of the missed tackle, as well as a penalty, like I mentioned, these penalties were going to start knocking down some of these grades as well. That ended up affecting his overall grade. So he falls as your second to the least. And then your bottom graded player here, Trey Hendrickson, 42.8, no pressures at all on his, how many is it? It looks like five. He only played five pass rushing plays. Most of the time that he was out there, he was playing as a run defender. He played 17 snaps, 10 of which were in run defense. And so that probably affected his grade because he has absolutely no stats across the board. However, he does have one of the five penalties that was called against this Saints defense. So with that being the case, that ends up putting him down as the bottom player there. So that's your top five, bottom three for offense and defense, as well as a couple of quick shout outs for special teams. That does it for your Pro Football Focus grades and analysis. We'll get a little bit more in depth with this as we get toward the back of the week, like we always do once we get into personnel grouping analysis and more film review as we go through the week. But that's going to do it for today's episode, y'all. Make sure you come back tomorrow for the Locked On crossover episode with Locked On Bucks. We've got John Yarko. We've got David Harrison coming through. Love working with those guys, and which should be a very interesting game. You know, those Saints games at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay are always a little weird, always a little funky. So it should be fun reviewing this one, especially after the way that the game went for the Bucks and Saints in the Superdome earlier this year. Despite the fact that the Bucks have shifted to a little bit more of a let's evaluate the personnel and see who we want to keep around, hence the cut of Vernon Hargreaves. Something that we'll keep an eye on, and I'm sure John and David and I will talk about, but still might be looking for a little bit of revenge against the Saints after that game earlier this year. And the Saints are going to be looking to bounce back from this loss to the Atlanta Falcons, and we'll see which one of them is in the path of the most hellfire, depending on which one of these teams is really feeling it coming into week 11. So that's going to do it for today's episode, everybody. As always, thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.